I'll be over in Philippians, the first chapter. We'll read one verse, and it's the 21st verse of Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen? What a perspective, right? What a perspective. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you for the opportunity that I have to be in your house this morning. I praise you, Lord. I praise you for your kindness, for your mercy. And Father, I praise you for your Spirit, Lord, that comes and gives us the direction, Lord. Gives us all that you'd have for us to have, Lord. I praise you for that. Father, I pray, Lord, that Father, that as we go down through the rest of this service, Lord, that Father, that we would be what you'd have us to be. Our hearts would be open, Lord. And Father, we would be what you'd have us to be in Jesus Christ. And amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, there was a young lady. She had went off to college, and when she was up there, her mom had been trying to get a hold of her, and she could not get a hold of her for whatever reason. She couldn't text her. She couldn't, email her. She just couldn't get a hold of her. So her daughter, she texted her, and when she texted her from college, her mom had sent a message. She said, "Are your fingers broke? Is your arm broke that you can't?" You know what I mean? You know how we do. Anyway, so finally her daughter answered her back. And this is how she answered it. Now think of this. This is perspective. "Mom, I'm sorry I haven't got a hold of you sooner. My arm really was broken. I broke it, and my left leg also, when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when it caught on fire. We were lucky." And it just goes on. It said, "A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department, and they were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory back together, he offered to let me stay with him, which I did. I moved in with him. I must admit that I'm pregnant now. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he gets divorced." Oh, yeah. "I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing great, and I hope to talk to you more. Love your daughter, Susie." And she texts her, and her mom's sitting there seething, just ready to load up in the car and go say, "What in the world is the matter with her?" You know? Then another text comes through. "None of the above is true, but I did get a C in psychology, and I flunked chemistry. I wanted you to receive this news in a proper perspective." Do you get the idea about what I'm talking about, perspective, folks? You know, it's the proper perspective that God wants us to have. Listen to me. Wouldn't it be something through all the time we go through in life, everything that we go through, wouldn't it be great sometimes that we would consider the negative situations in our life, if we would consider them, yet use them for the glory of God? Wouldn't that not be great? Our car breaks down, and we have the opportunity to witness to the mechanic. Instead of us getting upset because our car breaks down. We have a health problem arises. And something's going on in our life. And the medical staff hears the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, perspective. What about an insult or a criticism comes against us, you know? And we have the opportunity to show the love of Jesus Christ when people do this, right? Well, what about that kind of perspective right there? What if we had that kind of perspective in our life? You know, a tempting immoral situation challenges us. And you know what? We can stand up against it because why? Because Jesus Christ lives within our heart. Praise God. What about that kind of perspective? People can live this way if we have that kind of eternal perspectives in our lives. Amen? How is your perspective this morning? I want to ask you that this morning. I want to challenge you that right this morning. How is the perspective in your life this morning? Can we say that we are living for Jesus Christ with all of our passion, with everything that we have in us? When you have this kind of passion, when you have this kind of perspective in your life, praise God, you know what? We work towards a goal, do we not? We go towards a goal. Look at what Paul said in that verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's understand what Paul, this right here, the scripture's been preached on a lot down through the years. And you probably heard it from every angle, from every perspective possible. But let me give you mine. Here Paul was, he was tied to a Roman soldier, chained to a Roman soldier 24/7. But his imprisonment did not hinder the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, whenever he was in this kind of a situation, praise God, he used it to spread God's word even more. Can we do that? Whenever we're being challenged, whenever things are coming against us, can we use these opportunities that we have to spread the word of Jesus Christ? Can we do that? Paul spread it to the car. You know, he didn't have no doubt about what he's doing. It opened doors that otherwise may not have been opened to him. Can I say this morning? With the right perspective, whenever things come against us, it can open doors to us that we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ that we may never have had the opportunity to do before. Maybe that's the reason that things happen in our lives sometimes. Maybe that's the reason. And maybe the reason we don't see it is that we don't have the right perspective. Paul could have said this. You know, God, this isn't working. Just think about this. Paul could have said, I've accepted you into my heart. I preach your word. Everywhere you have sent me to go, I preach it. Paul could have said that. Have I not stood for you everywhere that I've went? Yet here I am changed to a Roman soldier. Oh, besides that, I have something wrong physically with me. Remember, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. And he said it had not been removed from him. God left it with him. You know what? He said, and here I am right now. I'm facing death. God, do you really think that this is right? Do you think it's right that I'm doing all this? All this has happened to me? Have we not had those? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had those kind of thoughts in your mind? I'll tell you what. This is one old boy up here, Tatum. I'll be honest with you. I've had this kind of thoughts. God, I thought I've done what you wanted me to do. God, I did this, I've done that, and yet it's not going the way Dave Long wanted it to go, you see. And maybe it's not going the way you wanted it to go. See, my perspective was wrong. Yet through it all, Paul's perspective remained this way. He said, you know what? It remained on eternal things. It remained on heavenly things. It remained on spiritual things. Paul's perspective remained that way. Paul said this because Christ was absolutely first in his life. Amen? There was no doubt where he stood with Jesus. There was no doubt. His priority was with Jesus Christ. Amen? Where is our priority? Where is our perspective? How does he keep the proper perspective? How did he do that? Listen to me. How importantly to us is, if we look at this, how can we keep the proper perspective? The first way that I believe he showed us here in verses 19 and 20 of the same chapter was, you know what? He knew that he was not alone. Look around you in here this morning. Just look around. You're not alone this morning. You and I have the proper support that we need right here in this church this morning, because we know that whenever we ask for prayer, whenever we ask for help, I look around this church and I see all kinds of people who will pray and will help. Paul knew that. He knew that. I'm here to tell you this morning, brother, that neither do you or I. We don't have to worry. That should put us in the proper perspective whenever we realize that we have that kind of a support group. Amen? I've seen it time after time. I have seen people in this church, you know, financially, spiritually, just give a helping hand, a praying hand. I've seen it time after time. And you know what? Guess what? Praise God. It's not only just this church. Amen? Amen. We're part of the family of God. Man alive, what kind of perspective should that put us in right there? How should it not put us in a proper perspective? Whenever we think about that, praise God this morning, we have so many people that are out there to pray for us. I don't know about you, but that's comforting to me. That comforts me to know that whenever I'm facing something in my life, that you know what? I've got the perspective to believe that I've got people that are praying for me, that back me, that love me enough to want to come and pray for me. Now, I'll tell you what. Matthew 18:20 tells us, for where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I will be in the midst. And you know, praise God this morning for that. I thank him for that. Because you know what? That gives me the proper perspective for what I need. Imagine hundreds praying for you. Doesn't that give you a different perspective on life? When you think about that, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people praying for you. Listen to me. Paul knew he needed prayer. He knew he could not accomplish what he needed to accomplish on his own by going to Rome on his own. He could not accomplish that on his own. I want to tell you something this morning, and let's just put it right here. You know what? If you think for a moment that you know what, that you don't need no help, that you don't need this and you don't need that, I'm going to tell you something this morning. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need the help of other Christian people. I'm going to tell you right now, I need to hear people's testimonies. How about you? I need to know that people are praying for. I need to hear the teaching. I need to hear all these things because it helps me. It keeps me going. It keeps me strengthened. It makes me want to go on. Paul knew that. He knew that he needed help from the church at Philippi. And you know what? And it was happening. And I'm telling you here this morning, if you need prayer, I believe that these people in this church will pray for you here today. I believe that. And they are praying, God answering. And God is answering. There are all times of prayer. There are times when many people praying as possible. Whenever I have something going on, I want as many people praying for me as possible whenever a situation is going on in my life. How about you? I do. God was answering. He's providing help through the Holy Spirit. Paul allowed God to continually help, fill him with the Spirit. He continually allowed it. This way, Paul was able to walk in the Spirit. He was able to walk in the power of God that had given him. I'll tell you, we need that. The key to understanding our spiritual life is to realize this. Our spiritual life is a supernatural life. Do you realize that? You talk about the supernatural. You talk about the proper perspective. That is it right there. Is our Christian life is a supernatural life. This is not a normal routine life that we walk. It is not. Do you realize that we have to walk alone? We have earthly brothers and sisters to walk up with us. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Praise God this morning. We have all of that this morning. And I am thankful for that. We need also to understand that we need to faithfully intercede when we are asked to. Am I right? You know, I talk about people to prayer. Whenever the prayer line comes out, whenever it comes out, and people are asking you to pray, I tell you what, right then and there, if you can do it either in mind or get down on your knees, we need to pray. We need to keep that in mind because that's what God wants us to do. We need to be faithfully interceding. When that prayer line or when somebody asks us in church to pray, we have so many times that people ask for prayer requests. There are unspoken requests, and I praise God for those also. I don't need to know. I don't need to know what your prayer request is all the time. God knows that. But I can tell you this, when somebody lifts their hands and they say, you know what, pray for me, I have an unspoken request, we need to take that just as serious as if somebody stands and gives a hundred message about praying. That's what it's about, because God, they have that idea in their mind. They have it in their heart, and they need prayer. We need to faithfully intercede. We need to faithfully intercede whenever we're asked to do that. We need to faithfully intercede on their behalf. We do it faithfully because why? Because of one way or the other, we love each other. Amen? Whenever you pray for people, whenever you intercede on their behalf, you show that you love that person. You show that you love them. Do it faithfully because we understand that God answers prayers. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
Say amen. Raise your hand. I believe God answers prayers. And if we believe that, we will intercede on the people's behalf for him. Amen? Do it faithfully because God, we believe, right, that prayer is the vehicle for which miracles happen. Amen? I believe God's still a miracle God. I have never in my mind doubted that. I believe if He so desires, He still heals today. He can still lift the broken body up. And I'll tell you, more importantly, He can heal that broken sinner that, you know what, that is down and maybe has not had any idea that they needed Christ, but they figured out that they did. He can bring you back. I don't care if you've been a sinner all your life. God can bring you back. God can take you. The moment the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom in Matthew 27:51, it symbolized that we no longer needed anybody to go pray for us. Amen? I don't need anybody to go pray for me. It says over in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. This is one of my most favorite scriptures. It is that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need. Amen. We don't have to have it. We can go on our knees by ourselves. But you know what? Praise God. If all of us are doing it, everybody can go to the throne of grace boldly. That means you. That means me. Man, that's an eternal perspective, is it not? Isn't that a great perspective to have right there? Paul's also encouraging us to honor God with our lives. Greg had mentioned that earlier when he's talking about Jerusalem there this morning, about how, you know what, we don't need to wallow in this filth. We don't need to wallow in this stuff. You know what? We are a child of the living God. Amen? We belong to the King of Kings. And praise God, you know what? We need to honor Him with our lives. Every ounce about us, we need to honor God with our lives. Amen? He did not want to give in to the pressures and stress of circumstances. We don't have to, and not to finish the race. Is this what's happening in your life today? I mean, I don't know. God had given me this sermon, and I thought, Lord, you know what? Why this today? And I thought, is there something going on in your life where maybe you're struggling in your walk with the Lord right now? Maybe you're struggling. I don't know. But you know what? We need to finish our race strong. We need to finish our race strong. We need to keep a hold of the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, this is no place to end it. This is no place to stop. Praise God, we need to walk the walk, we need to talk the talk, and we need to finish the race that God has given us to do. We're still Christians, but everything about it has become routine maybe in your life. Maybe everything's routine, boring. It's hard to feel the Spirit moving in your life maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Stress and pressures of life have caused you to step back a little bit. I'm here to tell you right now, I know the one that can bring you right back to Him, brother. I know the one that can do that. That's Jesus Christ. You know, you're not on fire like God, like you once were. I'm telling you right now, we can feel the Spirit of God moving in our life just the same way we felt that day that we accepted Him into our hearts. We can feel that. You know what? Is the Christian walk flowing through you? Or has it become a drag on your life? Listen, Psalm 51:12. And you know this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And it goes on to say this right here. Just ask God. Just ask Him. And I'm telling you, He will restore that joy into your life. He can do that. Listen, whenever He does that, your perspective will change. I guarantee it will. It will. Listen, how many of you have ever read Hamlet by Shakespeare? Has anybody ever read it? I know some of you probably in here have read it. I'll tell you what, maybe back in high school I can remember a little bit about it, I don't know. But anyway, you probably don't remember Hamlet, but you remember one of the verses that was in it. Do you not? To be or not to be is the what? Is the question. You know why he said that? Because he was contemplating, he's going to commit suicide, he said. He was thinking about committing suicide. And that's why he said it. Whether or not he wanted to go ahead and live. Whether or not he wanted to go ahead and die. And you know what? I praise God that Paul said this. And he said, whenever he said that in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know why? Because you know what Paul was saying there? Paul was saying this. To be or to be, that is the answer. That is what Paul said. To be or to be. He said, whether or not I live, he said, I'm going to do it for Jesus Christ. And if I die, he said, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. Amen? From Paul's point of view, he couldn't lose. You know what? I thank God, what a perspective to have in life. What a perspective. Can you say that this morning? Can you say it this morning? That you know what? No matter what happens, that you've got a hold of Jesus Christ this morning. No matter what happens in your life, you know what? I'm going through. Praise God. I'm going to be with Him one of these days. If that's what it takes, I'm going to be in heaven one of these days. I'll tell you what. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Amen. Amen. Paul knew. Paul was ready to go. And just think about it. If Paul wouldn't have had the right perspective, we wouldn't have had 12 books in the Bible. Do you realize that? 12 books in the New Testament we wouldn't have had. We wouldn't have heard what Greg had read here this morning about where it said how to be saved. We wouldn't have read that. You know what? But praise God, Paul had the right perspective. Paul was ready to go. He was ready to go no matter what. And he was more than that. He was going to serve Jesus no matter what situation he was in. For Paul was all about Jesus Christ. Is it all about Jesus in your heart this morning? Is it all about Jesus this morning? Living for Jesus meant great blessings, but dying for me was even better. It meant with Jesus forever. That's what it meant to him, and that's what it should mean to us. Death can't put things into perspective. You know what? Some may have a bucket list. Have you ever have a bucket list in your life that you want to do before you die? You know, Paul had one. Did you know that? If you want to, it's over in Acts 21:13. Very simple. When Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Amen. What a list. What a list. I mean, you know what? He didn't have to go see the Grand Canyon like I did. He didn't have to go see all this other stuff. And you know what? All his desire was to see Jesus Christ and to be and to serve Jesus Christ. It was all about serving him. You know what? Telling you, love, it's only a matter of time, brother and sister. Whether it's through the loss of a loved one, or the doctor telling us, or a loved one, is only a matter of time. Remember this, and maybe your perspective can change if you listen to this. You listen. Death, and I wrote this down because I seen this, I thought this was great. We're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it's saying? We're in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living. Amen? Put that in perspective right there. But that is the truth. Sometimes we get this thing backwards. We get it backwards. We have an eternity. We have a soul that's eternal. We have something that's going to live on beyond this flesh. And that right there is what's important. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You know, Paul was actually taunting death in the grave right there. He was actually taunting that. He's actually taunting them. Because why? Because he knew they had no power over him. They had no power over him. Because you know what? His life was more than the grave. His life was more than his flesh. He had a soul that was eternal. For me to live, he didn't say for me to live as money. And to die is to leave it all behind. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say for me to live as fame and to die is to be forgotten. He didn't say for me to live as power and to die is to lose it all. He said for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. That's what he said. What a perspective. Paul had no hope beyond all this nonsense down here. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." We are of all men most miserable. My hope is not in this life down here. I hope you have that perspective too. Your hope is not in this life down here. You know what? Enjoy life. I'm not telling you not to. Enjoy this life down here. Enjoy it with all that you can. Do it in a godly manner. Enjoy this life. But I'll tell you what, when it gets right down to it, your hope is not in this world. Your hope is not here. You know, we would be of all men most miserable if that's the case. All men most miserable. Amen. Listen to me. It is sad to hear some churches, though, compromising in the Word of God. But you know what? It's not unexpected. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." You see? You don't see that happening today? You know, to have the proper perspective, we need God's Word in us, and we need to stand on God's Word, and we don't need to compromise God's Word, and we don't need to let people try to tell us, you know what, that now this guy, that's too old-fashioned. Praise God, I'll tell you what, I believe with all my heart this morning, the Word of God stands just as true today as it did when it was back, when it was first written. It stands just as true. What a perspective. You know what? People's lives can be changed through the Word of God. Amen? It can be changed through the Word of God. President Ronald Reagan once challenged a college student who said that it was impossible for Reagan to understand his generation. He said, you know what? His college student told him, "We grew up in a different world," the student told him. He said, "Today we have televisions, we have jet planes, we have space travel, we have nuclear energy, we have computers, we have all this stuff," he told Reagan. And you know, this guy went on and on and on trying to tell Reagan how that he cannot understand how that the younger generation, how that they are. Once he stopped, Reagan said, "You're right. We didn't have all those things when we were young. We just invented them." Perspective, folks. Perspective. You know what? Just like the response. You know what? I hope and pray that the scripture this morning, I hope and pray for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I hope you put that into proper perspective. I hope it gives you a perspective this morning. Now let me tell you something else. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to give you the ultimate perspective this morning. I want to give it to you. Greg had already read the scripture earlier that it talks about, you know what, you've got to believe. You've got to believe with all your heart. And I'll tell you something else that I feel the scripture goes along with that also. I believe the Spirit of God has to be dealing with you. I believe that. The Spirit of God is dealing with you this morning. And you're wanting to get saved. I'll tell you what, there's nothing stopping you except you coming forth. Call upon the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus Christ come down across your heart and your soul and change you and make you a different person. A different person on the inside out. You may look the same, but you know what? You'll not be the same. I'm here to tell you, you will not be the same. You will not be the same. Why? Because when the Spirit of God comes into your life and God's Word gets a hold of you, you cannot help but change.
Amen.
You will change. There'll be no doubt about it. No doubt about it. They come and get a song.